This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, June 6, 2013. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, some beautiful voices.
Now, this is a quickie. I'm going to run this by you real fast.
Now, that little poem just came to me like a song out of nowhere.
We hereby declare ourselves to be of another order of beings, the astro nation of the United Worlds of Outer Space, Sun Ra.
Harmony Holiday is a poet and choreographer who lives in New York City. Her debut collection of poems, Negro League Baseball, came out in 2011 from Fence Books and won the Fence Books Motherwell Prize. In April, for National Poetry Month, she started the Beautiful Voices Project, where she posted daily audio clips of African-American artists, poets, musicians, comedians, what have you. It's well past April, but the clips keep coming, and the project has morphed into a Tumblr called Afrosonics. Harmony Holiday is here to talk about the project and sample a few of her selections. So Harmony, what got you started on this, and what is it?
What got me started on it, I was interested in building archives, and I was sort of working on collecting a lot of poems by jazz musicians to build an archive of that material, just old LPs and stuff.
And it turns out to be a lot more jazz musicians writing poems than one would suspect.
Definitely. And that was my way in, and then I thought about how this tradition could mobilize other poems on the page that are out of print.
So everything on the site is out of print or not very well known usually,
yeah,
right? That's the common denominator. It's not necessarily well-known stuff.
Most of the time, and sometimes it's just stuff that's not necessarily been heard aloud, and thinking about the importance of oral culture in the history of Black life in America, I guess, how orality has been a route to a lot of positive changes, I guess, and just how it's ingrained in the culture.
So you have everything from Malcolm X to Richard Pryor, who's the single funniest person ever to exist in America, as far as I can tell, to Billie Holiday, to Sun Ra, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of it is music related, but everything is from an African American.
Yeah, it won't stay that way forever, but yeah, for now.
Mm-hmm. And why? Tell me why you're focusing on African Americans.
Mainly because I feel like African Americans have, throughout our history in the arts, made a lot of records of this nature that just aren't known about. You know, Miri Baraka used to produce his own LPs, and different poets that we know by name, and we know some of their books. We don't know that they have this other way of presenting their work that doesn't get even Langston Hughes, you know.
Yeah, he recorded a lot of his poems.
Yeah.
So like, and did a lot of settings to jazz and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
And he was great at living in both worlds, but I think that that's no reason to dismiss the other side of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And how do you know something is going to end up on Tumblr? What makes it Tumblr-worthy?
Tumblr-worthy, well, interestingly enough, Tumblr does set its own constraint with the 10 megabyte limit. It's, can I clip it down and make it interesting within that limit? Does it pop, basically? Is it something that people will, because it's really just, I don't want people to hear lectures. I want it to be something where people can go and hear something that day. And then for the larger archive, I'm going to set up, you can listen to the whole LP or the whole track and things like that.
Yeah, so the little tidbits for people.
Exactly.
And we're going to listen to tidbits of those little tidbits. And here's a part of one. This is from Nina Simone, the great jazz singer, although here she's not singing.
I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it.
That we don't know anything about, she
says.
What is she specifically referring to?
In my opinion, or what I take it to mean,
yeah,
she's probably, a lot of people in her community, she hung out with James Baldwin and people like that, were talking about ways of being in the world that were invented pre-transatlantic slave trade, and now aren't necessarily, they're in the blood memory, but they aren't in the collective concrete, you know. There's no book that you can go find that says we did this or we invented this, things like that.
She's speaking right at the beginning of Afrocentrism, which really came up in the 1970s big time. Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say so. And as a movement, it ended up maybe having a bitter-tinged reactionary vibe, but I think that it was coming from that being such a time of suppression where what else was there to do but speak about it like that?
Mm-hmm. And everybody remembers the Black is beautiful phrase from, I guess, probably from the late 60s and early 70s.
Yeah.
And this is the rhetoric of that of that slogan. I have to say, it's a little hard to hear somebody, you know, that she feels like she has to say stuff like that because it seems kind of obvious. You know what I mean?
I do. I think my question to myself is always, do we believe it as much as the rhetoric is used and mobilized during the Black Arts Movement?
Yeah.
How much of it was without anxiety and doubt?
Yeah, it's an assertion. It's a strong assertion, often a kind of a militant assertion.
Exactly.
And you know that it comes from a place where they're responding to some sort of feeling that's out there.
Yeah, and possibly still living in them, too.
Let's hear another one. This is Bill Gunn, the playwright, screenwriter, and novelist. Anything more you want to say about him before we hear what he has to say?
Sure, yeah. He made the film Ganja and Hess in 1973, which, like many of his films, was met with a lot of controversy here because the picture studio gave him a bunch of money to make a blaxploitation flick, and he made an art flick instead, and it got...
Got in trouble.
Got renamed Blood Couple and, you know, turned into something else. And then in Cannes, in France, it got great reviews and was the only American film showed that year in the special selection.
So I'm not going to say what this is. Just as on the Tumblr site, you just click on stuff and listen to it. And it's hard to know whether this is a poem, an essay, or what exactly. Let's just listen to it. It begins with somebody typing madly in the background.
To the black male children, philosophy is a prison. It disregards the uncustomary things about you. The result of individual thought is applicable only to itself. There is a dreadful need in man to teach. It destroys the pure instinct to learn. The navigator learns from the stars. The stars teach nothing. The sun opens the mind and sheds light on the flowers. The eyes shame the pages of any book. Gesture destroys concept. Involvement mortifies vanity. You are the despised of the earth. That is as if you were water in the desert. To be adored on this planet is to be a symbol of success, and you must not succeed on any terms, because life is endless. You are as nameless as a flower. You are the child of Venus, and her natural affection is lust. She will touch your belly with her tongue, but you must not suffer in it, for love is all there is, and you are cannon fodder in its defense.
This is the part I love coming up right now. Hang on. he's crumpled it up.
Never mind, and tossed it away.
So that is a very oracular and strange bit of prose poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about this.
That is, as far as I can tell, an outtake from Ganja and Hess that I found online.
Uh-huh.
And it's a video that I found online, which I converted the audio from, where he's shirtless with a rose somewhere on his desk. I picture it in his mouth right now for some reason. And he's typing on a typewriter. And then he pulls out the page, reads it, and crumples it up.
obviously didn't make it into the film, but you...
No, it didn't.
And what does it say to you? This begins, to the black male children. And then later he says, you are the despised of the earth. And what is he ultimately saying to the black male children?
I think what he's saying really earnestly, which is, you know, it might not get any better. You might not ever see a picture of a black Jesus or a black anything in a positive frame from this society. But he's saying that maybe you can take that as a compliment.
You are the despised of the earth. That is as if you were water in the desert.
Sort of saying that black masculinity is a threat, and the fact that it's despised, and the fact that it's not understood and fragmented by language and society is a sign of its powerfulness. And if there's a way to mobilize that toward love, go right ahead, if you can.
But you must not suffer in it, for love is all there is, and you are cannon fodder in its defense.
Let's hear one more, and this is probably the most beautiful thing that I heard on your site so far. This is If We Come Like Soft Rain by Sarah Webster Fabia. Tell us a little bit about her before we hear her poem, which is such music like a lot of her stuff seems to be.
She was actually trained in poetry. I think she went to Columbia back in the day, and she worked with the Black Panthers later on in Berkeley. She was called the poet of the Black Panthers. And with her brother and a crew of musicians, she made these albums, which are out on Folkways. And yeah, so her stuff is at least somewhere, you know. But still, I don't think in poetry communities it's well known at all. And she has some books that are also out of print. But in general, I think she's great. She had a lot of spunk.
Yeah, let's listen to this one.
If we come like soft rain, pattering gently, not raging in torrents, but secretly whispering in answer to each other's urgent calls, rescuing our spirits, souls from precarious ridges, canyon rimmed and night entombed, then the morning of our new lives should shower in rainbows. If rooted in the unfilling quicksand of the troubled past, we hesitate to move closer to tenderness. And if deafened by the cacophony of the rain and chaos, so much so that we only hear the fading echo of our awakening calls, and come as night falls in a vacuum, just to fill a void, it is better to not come at all. Love, like lodestars, pulls us together toward our eclipses and equinoxes, or else, like shooting meteors speeding by tangentially to flame and fall, burning to ember, leaving so little essence to remember. If we come like rain, freely, with a downpouring of smiles and our tears, running breathlessly in answer to each other's call, then come we must. Or else, we should wish for each other the dawn of brighter sun.
Now, I'm not quite sure what she's saying here, but it's perfectly lovely.
I agree. Yeah.
I think there's a couple of different ways to read this. It could be a love song, a love poem. It's about the speaker addressing her lover, that we should be kinder and gentler to each other. You could also view it on kind of a macro level of society healing.
Yeah.
If we come like soft, if we are nicer to each other and gentler to each other, things will work out a little bit better.
I like how she goes from that to saying, but if we can't do that, then we should wish each other, what does she say, the dawn of brighter suns?
Yeah, the dawn of brighter suns.
So, you know, I like it that it's a lesson, but it's not at all didactic.
Yeah, if this does not work out,
Yeah.
I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah.
And a different day.
And if we can't be tender toward one another, then we shouldn't even try. So when I hear that, both in the love sense of an intimate relationship and in the society sense, I think, unless it comes natural, like, let's stop forcing this stuff, which is an interesting contrast to a lot of the voices you hear.
Thanks, Harmony.
Thank you.
There's lots more to listen to. Harmony Holiday's Afrosonics is on Tumblr. And there's a subscription service that she and her publisher, Fence, are starting where they mail compilations, liner notes, and ephemera from the collection that they're gathering. You can also read a few of Harmony Holiday's poems on our website, poetryfoundation.org. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.